This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I haven't done my normal intro. Welcome to the show, diatribe in a while. Jake, you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you see, in one of the YouTube comments yesterday, somebody was like, that bad news thing caught me off guard. And then I realized they were just having fun with it. Did you see that yesterday?
I didn't see that.
I responded to that comment. That was pretty funny. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the fastest hour in radio, the Adam Carriker Show. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. What you're going to get? Unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process, including playing random bad news clips when it has nothing to do with any bad news. All right. You're also going to hear Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. We got five clips today that we're going to go through. Dylan Raiola, Matt Rhule, Rebecca Alec, Joel Klatt, college football picks. How much have I beaten you by now?
I think
round up so I can feel good about things.
I think it was at least three games. It might be more by now.
All I heard was 33 or more, something. That's what I, is that about right?
So you're 32 and 21, and I'm 28 and 25. So four game lead.
You remember when I started off 0-5?
Yes.
you sounded so annoyed. Have you picked out? I don't even know. I never know what the games are other than Nebraska. Have you picked out the games for this week yet?
Yeah. We've got some games ready.
All right. You're always going to hear Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. Got five clips to play. A lot of things to dive into. Nebraska versus USC. Dylan Raiola called this game a do-over game. His press conference earlier this week, and I quote, a do-over, end quote, game. And also, how does Nebraska go about beating USC? How does that happen? Before we dive into all that, as a former Husker and NFL player, I'm a bit of a health nut. Hydration and recovery start at home. That's why you should team up with Culligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects your water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage. For drinking, make sure you add a Culligan Reverse Osmosis, bottled quality water right at your tap, great taste, and it's certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, get up to $300 off a whole home system or just $9.95 a month for your first 3 months. Schedule your free water test at CulliganHuskers.com. That's CulliganHuskers.com. Culligan of Lincoln, water you love, go Big Red. All right, before we dive into all this, big news in the Carriker house today. Shout out to my daughter, Trinity, who will probably hear this later on. She's at a splatter paint place while I do this show with mom, making a mess, creating art, and having fun. But I'm sure they'll check it out later. Happy 13th birthday to my daughter, Trinity. We now have three teenagers in our house. Jake, you a praying man?
Yes, I am.
Oh, add us to your list. Right. At least three times. You know, I did this math when our youngest was born. So she is eight. So about 8 years ago, I was like, Ange, do you realize at some point we're going to have a senior in high school, a junior, a freshman, two seventh graders and a fifth grader? Like, dude, like just keep adding more prayers for the Carriker family. We are blessed. We love it. But we could use your prayers all at the same time. Happy birthday to Trinity, 13th birthday. She is now a teenager as well. All right. All right, you need to play the bad news thing because I do actually have, I don't know if it's bad news, but it's not going to make you happy. So let's kick off the show with that. Go ahead.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
No way to better, no better way to kick off a show than with some bad news, especially when it's a pregame prediction show, which is supposed to be uplifting and exciting. All right. And actually, Doug Duda, who does a show in Kearney. I'm a guest on his show once a week for about 15 minutes. They actually just relayed this to me. So if you don't like it, I give all credit to them. But here we go. Because I have a feeling this game's going to come down to the trenches. I have a feeling it's going to come down to running the ball and stopping the run. Jake, if that's the case, how do you feel about the game?
Not great.
So For a little bit of perspective, a couple of common opponents here. USC has played Michigan State, and they have played Michigan. We have played Michigan, and we have played Michigan State. USC outrushed Michigan and Michigan State combined by 292 yards. We got outrushed by Michigan and Michigan State combined by 264 yards. Oof. So as I look at the paper, it says USC rush yards comparison versus Michigan, Michigan State plus 292. Nebraska rush yards comparison versus Michigan, Michigan State minus 264. That's it. We should just end the show right there. Like, there's nothing else to talk about. I mean, good. News. If you want some more bad news, I specifically went back to the Michigan game. Why? Because I'm a glutton for punishment. If you don't remember, they outrushed us, specifically Michigan, 286 to 43. And that is the same Michigan team that USC ran all over. Now, just remember, USC is better in the trenches. They're more physical than they've been since Lincoln Riley walked in the door. With all due respect, that's not really saying much. They go to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame ran all over them. In fact, we now have the only player in the Big Ten, one of only two Power Four players to have over 1,000 all-purpose yards in Emmett Johnson. We have the Big Ten's number two rusher in the entire Big Ten Conference. And I know for a fact that they're very, very concerned about stopping Emmett Johnson. We are the 101st rushing team in the country. Okay, we're not towards the top in the country when it comes to stopping the run. So for me, a lot of this comes down to the run game. Our pass defense is number two in the country, been number one for most of the year. We have not faced a top 50 pass offense yet. USC is number one, also number one in total yards. Is that doomsday? No. It means you have an opportunity to prove how good you really, really are. If you are really, really that good, it's an opportunity. That's how a competitor would see that. Conversely, we have one of the top 25, top 30 pass offenses in the country in our own right. And the number two completion percentage team in the entire country, only behind number one Ohio State. We're completing as a team 74% of our passes. And USC has the 80th ranked pass defense in the country. So it's there for our passing game. It's there for our pass defense to make an impact in this game. So as much as I'm talking about the rush game, the intriguing matchup is our pass offense versus their defense. Can we take advantage of it? Can we be better than 1 out of 10, like we are in our past two games combined when it comes to completing balls of 15 yards or more? Can we complete more of them? Can we stretch them vertically? Can we make them defend more of the field? They're not a great pass defense. At the same time, this is a legit opportunity for our pass defense to show how good they truly are. If they're going to do it, this is the time. This is the night. It's going to be like mid-40s, mid-30s. It was like 90 degrees earlier this week in California, in LA. I'm sure you've heard this. Lincoln Riley's 0-7 at USC when taking the Trojans across two time zones or more. So those things bid well for Nebraska. There's all sorts of intangibles here. I know. We got the 0-28 Nebraska versus our last 28 ranked opponents. Matt Rule's 3-25 versus AP ranked teams. Yada, yada. There's so many intangibles here that go back and forth. At the end of the day, even though this is a former Pac-10, Pac-12 team versus a former Big 8, Big 12 team, at the end of the day, this game's going to be won like any other Big 10 game in November. Can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? That's what it's going to come down to. The other thing to remember, if you haven't heard this stat yet, in games, in Power 4 games where Emmett Johnson carries the ball at least 20 times, we're 3-0. In the three games where he did not carry the ball 20 times, we're 1-2. And in those two games that we lost, think about them, Michigan and Minnesota, Dylan Riley was sacked more times in those two losses than in the other six games of the year combined. What's the common denominator? Did we get the ball to one of the best running backs in the country, in the Big Ten, probably our best all-around player? And did we make the defense respect the run game, or did we not? Otherwise, we should be able to take advantage of their pass defense, but if they don't respect the run game, they're just going to tee off. And by tee off, I mean get the sack totals ready. If we can run the ball and we can keep them off balance and just complete a couple of deep balls, that changes everything. But if they know, hey, they're not running the ball, hey, they can't stretch us vertically, well, let's put like 92 guys within about 15 yards, 10 to 5 yards of the ball, and they're going to have trouble. And then, hey, you guys try to set sack records. That's how I'd look at it if I was on defense as a USC player. But if we establish the run and we can get the play action pass going and we just threaten them vertically, complete one or two early on deep passes, just over 15 yards. It doesn't have to be 50 yards. That'd be great. not mandatory, but awesome. Then it changes everything for the rest of the game. Defensively, it's interesting because Northwestern, I think I pointed this out earlier this week. Oh, man, we got to stop their run game. We got to stop Northwestern's run game. They average 190 yards a game on the ground. Ooh, all right. USC coming in. Do you know how many they average on the ground per game, Jake?
Like 200.
203. So everyone's so focused on the number one pass offense, number one total offense in the country. They rush the ball more for more yards per game than Northwestern. And I just told you what they did to Michigan and what they did to Michigan State. Michigan State's not very good. USC just went to Notre Dame, and they got owned in the trenches. Now, I will say this. Notre Dame has two losses this year by a combined 4 points to two teams that are going to end up being, I mean, A&M's already number three in the country, I believe. Miami's been number two or three. I know they lost. But they're going to be top five seeds come the college football playoff final committee rankings. Trey Dannon already told me that. You know, shot me that note. Yeah, I've already got it slotted in, Adam. He just told me. Notre Dame's pretty good. They may be, when it comes to pure physicality, they're in the conversation, maybe the most physical team in the country when it comes to the trenches. When you got Jeremiah Love, who's just redonkulous, that helps. There's so many key matchups to watch. Our pass defense versus their pass offense. USC people believe that despite Caleb Williams was the number one overall draft pick, the Heisman Trophy winner. By the way, Lincoln Riley, of the last eight Heisman Trophy winners, he's produced almost 50% of them. Three of them. That's crazy. I don't even think that's legal. He's produced three number one overall draft picks in the last 8 years as well. And a Super Bowl MVP in Jalen Hurts and another Heisman finalist in Jalen Hurts. No college football coach has ever produced three number one overall NFL draft picks before.
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
That's all exciting. Our number one pass defense for most of the year. What can Dylan do versus their 80th-ranked pass defense? It's going to come down to running the ball. It's going to come down to 30, 40 degree weather. It's going to come down to an insane environment. It's going to come down to, can we keep them off balance or at least make them respect the run game so they can't just tee off on our quarterback? Because we know that there's no question. Oh, will that? No, we know what happens. We've seen it enough. We've seen it enough against teams that don't have the athletes they do. And they're not like a phenomenal defense, but they're vastly improved. Since they took Danton Lynn from UCLA 2 years ago, vastly improved, but they're not some phenomenal defense. You can't be a phenomenal defense, have the 80th ranked pass defense in the country. But when you're the 128th team in the country, when it comes to allowing sacks like we are, you better run the ball first. And as much as they throw the ball, as efficient as they are on offense, they're capable of big plays. Don't get me wrong. They're more efficient than they are dynamic offensively. A lot of that starts with being able to rush the ball for over 200 yards a game. If we can at least limit them under 150, would you consider that a success, under 150? Like 149.4, so you can't even round up?
I think so. Now, they are a little bit banged up at running back.
Go ahead, talk about that.
So there is that. Wayman Jordan, their starting running back, has been out for a couple weeks, not expected to be in. Eli Sanders, one of their backups, also out. So they're down to King Miller, and King Miller's been good. I don't expect him to, you know, to have a bad game. He's had some pretty good games so far, and it rushed for 158 against Michigan on nearly 9 yards of carry. So, I mean, he can go, and I expect that he will. Obviously, in my mind, I mean, part of it would be that, yes, that could be a success. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the big runs. So if you hold them to 150 throughout the game steadily, sure. But if you have 150 and you do, for the most part, hold them down, but give up two long touchdown runs, that could bury you.
Michigan. We held Michigan under 4 yards a carry, but they had, and I remember 37-yard run by Bryce Underwood, a 54-yard touchdown run. And I believe this, dude, I'm not looking at notes. This is recall, so I hope I'm right. I believe a 75-yard touchdown run down the left side of the field. That's what killed us. They could not consistently run the ball. We don't have to be consistently running the ball when you can gash teams like that. That's a phenomenal point. So they are short. They don't have a whole lot of running back depth. And it's about the big runs. That's a great point. You got anything else to add to that?
No, I mean, so it's going to be looking out for them. I think when you look at the matchups, like you said, I think most of them are going to favor USC, unfortunately. I mean, it makes it hard to tuck yourself in, at least in my mind, to a Nebraska win. Obviously, that pass defense that we're talking about, number two versus number one, that's an incredible matchup. But, you know, I look at where, so USC is a little bit banged up there. Where I'm worried about is the opposite of where Nebraska is banged up. I know this is kind of going on in a different route here. But we know that sacks have been a problem. Number 15 in the nation, USC comes in averaging 3 sacks per game. And Nebraska is basically down to 2 offensive tackles that have played, right? And so, and you know, one of those I'll say with Elijah Pritchard, though he played well last game, is at least due for a high-profile mistake, if you want to put it that way, more often than not. So, I mean, I think there's just a lot of in the stat category that's going to be difficult for Nebraska to overcome. But you just, I mean, you don't have to play them the whole season. You got to play them today, right? I mean, you have to play them tomorrow. So, you know, throw that out. But matchup-wise, I think USC's an advantage there. The other one I wanted to ask you about, and maybe it's not fair because most of these were up-and-coming Baylor against Oklahoma, but Matt Rhule 0-5 against Lincoln Riley. Do you think that? Does that factor into your thought process, all these numbers we're throwing around?
When you say 0-5, what does that mean?
5 chances to beat Lincoln Riley, one-on-one, head-on-head. Baylor versus Oklahoma, who's 0-4, then lost last year at USC.
I thought you said, like, 0-5, like, Odin 5. I was Odin 5, like a five-knuckle shuffle, or what are we talking about here? Oh, 0-5. I much prefer the 0-7 Lincoln Riley going 2-plus time zone away.
Right, yeah.
I like that. There's things that got to give here. Like, something's got to give. Lincoln Riley and USC on the road. How we've done versus ranked teams. I mean, I've got the quote somewhere. I'm just going to paraphrase and roll with it. Troy Dannon yesterday, you know, that was exciting. I think a good thing, extending Matt Rhule for stability. I think we are building. I can't help but wonder if we're going to be significantly better in year four, like I said yesterday, versus Matt Rhule, typical year three jump. I'd be okay with that. Still got to get to 8 wins. I'm not moving the goalposts like Jake. Just get to a bowl game. That's success. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not against this schedule, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not moving the goalposts. You want to rebuttal real quick? I don't want to.
Well, I would not necessarily saying it's a successful season. I was saying the very bottom of showing progress.
No.
Is legitimately
that's not progress.
Back-to-back bowl seasons.
No.
Back-to-back bowl seasons is not progress.
No.
Over 9 years of not doing it.
Is a tie progress?
I think consistently showing you can go to a bowl games is progress. It's not what I expect or what I want. And I don't think Nebraska fans would be happy if they lose their final 5 games of the year. I'm just saying it's very much at least something that hasn't been done since Bo Pelini. Nobody's been to back-to-back bowl games. Well, I guess Mike Riley was with a 5-7 record.
Bad News Bach came out there for a second.
Sorry, keep his ugly head once in a while.
We can debate that after the game on USC, after the game on Monday after USC about progress and what's successful and what's not. I just wanted to give you a little crap, to be honest with you. All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, Troy Dannon. He talked about, because Matt Rhule's 18-15 overall here at Nebraska. And if you do a little bit of math, that means he's under 500 versus Big Ten teams. Okay, so you get the extension, all this and that. Now, we talked about why the deal was good for Nebraska. yesterday. So go back and check out that show if you missed it. And it was a good thing. It was something that needed to happen. We dialogued that yesterday. But Troy Dannon said, well, it's different when you start on third base. And I'm paraphrasing, but essentially what he said, it's different when you start on third base. Then you're trying to build something from scratch. And this is his third time building something from scratch. And I thought two things. I thought, number one, that's a good point. I thought, number two, he hasn't built it yet. So we don't know that it's built. So don't act like he's done it three times. He's done it twice and is in the process of doing it three times. Hence, while it was a good thing that he was what took place yesterday, I'm not going to change my mind on that. That's why some folks were a little bit like, okay, what has he done to actually earn that outside of a supply and demand type deal? Okay, so there's a fair question. That was his response. I thought it was a good response. My only caveat was he hasn't done it yet here. To your point, I said this at the beginning of the year. Mathematically, if we beat USC and we beat Iowa and Iowa's rolling, we could be in the CFP conversation. Don't laugh. Stop laughing. Okay, if you're laughing, stop laughing. Because mathematically, it's possible. It's just as possible we could finish under 500. Jake just predicted we were going to lose our last five games, and then he said we were going to lose the bowl game. Did you say that? Isn't that what you said?
I said he could.
And then we could end up under 500. It's all mathematically possible right now. So he's in the process of building it. I think it may take another year to kind of come into fruition a little bit more. All right. We haven't played a single clip yet. You got a short one we can play? You know, do the Matt. I don't know. Just pick one. I like it when you surprise me. You got a short one? Whatever it is, surprise
let's
me.
Let's see. Yeah, let's go with, let's get Holgerson's take on the crowd this week.
I like it.
Been in games like this where, you know, the crowd makes magical moments, you know, and so I can't tell you how fired up I am for it, you know, night game. And, you know, I've been here for a night game on the other sideline, you know, when I was at Texas Tech, we came up here twice. One of them was that night. I think it was in the 2000 or 2001. And man, I remember that to this day.
I know. Like, they really want it to be rocking. And somebody said, I forget who it was. Somebody on X posed a question earlier this week. Is this the biggest home game Nebraska's had since Miami? Was that 2014? I would still argue Colorado last year. People view that game differently now because of what happened afterwards. Do we put too much into it? No, you got to be able to play more than one red hot game of the year. For good Lord, I never understood that, which is why we didn't talk about it much here on this show. I still think if you lose that Colorado game, I mean, that's a big deal. But we won. I don't want people to take it for granted. This is unequivocally possibly the biggest opportunity Nebraska's had at home. Because remember, we played Illinois ranked last year. We were ranked. They were ranked. That would have been the first ranked versus ranked matchup in Memorial Stadium in umpteen years. Had we won that, that would have been big. But we lose. So we kind of forget about it. But I would say the biggest opportunity since that Miami game, because you get so many monkeys off your back. I keep talking about these stupid monkeys on our back. Let's keep getting them off our back. We'll have another opportunity at the frosty, icy, surrender, whatever whites at some point, maybe. By the way, most people's reaction when I ask them, hey, what do you think of the all-black uniforms? I'll tell you after I see how they play Saturday. It's going to have a huge impact. That's all people care about. The fans can have such an impact. They weren't able to get into the game versus Michigan. Two drives where we could have scored. We didn't come away with any. Then it was 10-0. They never could fully get into that game. If something happened, we had the pick six early on versus Colorado. We had a couple big plays versus Miami. If we start fast, I'm telling you right now, as a former player, I don't think it's going to rattle USC like they just played at Notre Dame and all that. I don't think they're going to get rattled. Maiva's an experienced quarterback. Riley's an experienced coach. But the effect it can have on their communication can be huge. The effect it can have on Nebraska's players. I loved, like, at away games, the silence of an away crowd, like when I was at their home stadium, was deafening, and I love that. But nothing matches your home crowd going crazy. Like, I use the video game analogy sometimes. Like, let's say I were to play today, and I was an 85 overall, and I show up as an 85 overall. It's not an up day. It's not a down day. That crowd goes crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. I would run around feeling like all of a sudden I'm like a 91, 92, 93. Like, it can have such an impact. That's what Holgerson wants. That's what Rule wants. They have flat out said, if you aren't wearing black, they're going to put trash bags over you. Like, or they're going to kick you out of the stadium. I don't know how serious they are about that. But, like, they want this thing to be electric.
I think that was like an AI video.
Yeah. who knows? Like, they're going to have black on the end zones. I've already seen it. I still say do the skull and crossbones at midfield, but I believe the N is black now. Yeah, yeah. Like, I love that. Let's see. From John Butler, and I quote, "I would ask every single Husker fan who's going to be at that game to be as loud and crazy and disruptive as they can be. You need every bit of help you can get," and I think that's it right there, end quote. I think not the every bit of help you can get, end quote. That's it. The crowd can be a difference maker, especially if they get in the game early on. I think Colorado was soft, and I think they were taken out of that game right away. I don't think USC is going to be like that, but I think you can have a positive impact on Nebraska's players to a degree that hasn't been felt since the first half of that Colorado game. And I will mention this. There's going to be 60 recruits. There could be 60 recruits in Lincoln this weekend, possibly, including, I believe, the number one tight end in the country. I think Ahmad Hudson said he was going to be here on X. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. So the effect it can have on recruiting. Like, this may be the single biggest recruiting weekend. I know Michigan was huge, but depending on how things go, this could be even bigger this weekend. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will play some more clips, dive into this good stuff, make college football predictions, whine and complain about preseason rankings along with Joel Klatt. When we come back, don't go anywhere.